Yes. Chapter 1. Unfortunately, I was actually here last Sunday, but I wasn't. And so, while you guys were listening to the word here, I was preaching at a church in New Jersey from the library here in the back. So, I missed the, I'm sure it was a introduction to the book. And so I'm going to be reading in verses 8 through 16, which was assigned to me. I will refer a little bit to the beginning, excuse me, thunder, just makes for good reading. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken with the whole world. For God is my servant, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I may mention you always in my prayers, making you requested by any means that was needed, and journeys come to you. For I come to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, for the purpose that you may be established. That is, that I may be covenant together with you. The mutual faith of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that all things have a purpose to come to you, what was hindered. But I might have some fruit among you, so it was a man of a doubt. I am a doubt, both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wild and to the orphans. So I can have in me, I am ready to bring the gospel to you in the room also. I am not saying the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation, that everyone that believes, and the Jew first, and also the Greek. Well, given the assignment on these particular verses, I might describe them in a moment. I mean, I'm looking at all these verses, but the book of I was mentioning before, it's deep with theological subjects. The problem here is that I'm a teacher. I'm going to get the teaching, I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach. I'm going to take the word of God and they give it God, they give me, and you're going to take the word of God and bring it to apply in your life in a way that will give you instruction on how to live right from the beginning. In this world, it's the gift that God has given you. I love to evangelize and most of the people that hate me. They just love to see you. There's nothing like actually discipling somebody new. That things that you learned decades ago, illuminate and enlighten life of somebody that hears the word of God. As you unfold the page of the scripture, you can see their lives changing right before your eyes. And that's the something that when a new believer comes into the fold, not necessarily including the many other believers, but I mean, leading somebody to Christ and bringing a new believer to the assembly, it's so important, and it's such a blessing. And it's, that's our purpose, right? If that wasn't our purpose, then if you got saved in a second, that's here for particular reason, and that's to preach the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world that desperately needs hope and encouragement and desperately needs to be saved. Paul heard about the Romans during his missionary journey in Corinth, and he heard about the Romans. He heard that there was something spectacular happening. As a matter of fact, the verse 8 says, I thank my God, Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Now that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, when you think about the world, you're going to take your faith, you're still going to use the power of the day to flow. If you really are in the radio, you're going to be able to do it. And so everything is being so heavenly, all so encouraged, hasn't been there yet. And he's letting them know what's happening here. Materially, I read from the reading. You know who started? Some say that and we saw in chapter 2. And some people that they were a bunch of holy believers that were eventually spreading the news and publicly as a really public. They had a link. It's like having a link in high school. Back then, you would not only live in any province in the world, but you had to be in any province in the world. You had certain protection. You could do certain things with persecution. But being a leader is different. You can do things. You can go places. And the noise. People travel to people from all over the world. So once the gospel was really lighting up on fire there, it would have happened. This is a very humbling verse. Listen to what it says here. That your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. I read this verse, I'd be so convicted. I mean, I haven't really covered you. Is your faith spoken of your own? That's a big asking. Let's dumb it down. Richie, is your faith, is your testimony, is your faith spoken of throughout the U.S.? No, that could be a big ask too. Is your faith spoken of in the city of Charlotte? State of North Carolina, city of Lancaster, in the neighborhood of Eternal Point Court, in Paris. I asked myself these questions. Their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. How's my faith? Do people in my house understand that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do my neighbors understand that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're believers? Does my county, does my job, people that are working, the people in your schools, do they know? Is your faith spoken of? Whether it be backbiting, gossiping, anything like that. As a believer, that guy goes to church. I don't care what you say. As long as it has something to do with Christ, is that being spoken in my life? And I got to tell you, when I saw this, very verse, God to be in the book, so it must be there for a reason. It's got to be there for a reason. If you're new here today, first of all, welcome to Prayer Book. Secondly, I would like you to know that we gathered here today because we were at a point that we did not know. We didn't have a relationship. We didn't have religion. It's a little different. Religion is man's way to get to God. Jesus Christ was God's way to get to man. We put our faith and trust in the very gospel that's being spoken in this book. That Jesus Christ died for your sin and my sin according to the gospel. The word gospel means good news. You're going to hear it in the book of Romans. And that he rose again on the third day. We put our faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ on that cross. And now we are all citizens of heaven who believe. We believe that when everything is said and done in this world, at least you can see if you go to this as frequently as I do. use a scare tactic. I'm just using reality. Wars, conflict, things of this world are proof that man's way does not work. And his way is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way which Jesus Christ, we don't have a relationship with God's religion. Because it's not about systems, things, and liturgies, and all kinds of different things. Not a personal relationship with a real person who loves you and cares for you and is needed to you. And I pray that if you have any questions about that, that you would avail yourself of a resource so many believers can reach out. And that's it. If you feel more comfortable with the people, then you feel serious about something. We would love to share the gospel with Jesus Christ with you. So is your faith spoken of throughout the whole world? We pull a little short there. Verse 9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of this kingdom. There's always two different parts to an epistle in the New Testament, a letter written by anyone in the New Testament, anybody in that particular era. There was usually this greeting part, and there was a thanksgiving part that followed, and then the rest of the letter. It was very unusual. You start reading in the middle of the letter, sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it gets rough. Sometimes some real truth needs to be spoken of you. So when you approach a letter, just like anybody, if you're going to talk to somebody, we see the pattern in the New Testament. You give a little encouragement before some of strong expectations or instructions. Sometimes you just need to encourage somebody before revealing. Sometimes it can be a painful. We have examples of this throughout the book. We think of Revelation chapter 2, the Ephesian church. He's a star to it. He is. Beginning of all, I need to be aware. I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I need to do that. And you don't know this one thing. You've forgotten yourself. So he gives him a little bit of encouragement before he brings down to heaven. But heaven is. So is the encouragement. And this is Paul's thing. He has a greeting, and then he says, he starts off everything with this. First, I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, he explains to them how much he's praying for them. God is my witness. Honestly speaking, the only prayer we pray is the prayer that only God can hear. Let me make that a little more clear. Jesus Christ was very clear on this prayer with all these wonderful theological words and the rest of it, so that other people can hear how godly and Christian you are. He said that that's so to speak. The prayer that's really worth listening to is when Jesus Christ was praying to God, his disciples had an earshot. And when they come, he came to God, the only thing that they did is ask the Lord. Teach us to pray. And he did. He told them to pray. And he said it. Not all of those people, that's just not the way it's done. This genuine prayer to God that you need him, and you need his instruction, and you need him in prayer, belief, and sincerity with what he would call the interpretive. Contrition in spirit. It says, God is my witness, and only he can. I mean, who else is listening to your prayer? Only he is your witness. Isn't that something? I mean, here we are to the corner of God with 5,000 witnesses. If God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. That's something we're looking into as well. Paul said, I serve him with my spirit in the gospel of his son. What does that mean? Holy Spirit, that is spirit. What do you mean? is serving the Lord with the message of the gospel, with every fiber of his being. It's not this humdrum Christianity. Well, everybody just falls into the being that he's dressed a certain way, he's saying a certain thing. That's not Paul. With his life, with his substance, with every tear, with painful knee, with constant prayer. When you see 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you see the things that has to go through in order to bring the message of the gospel to our hope, lost, and dying. But the message of himself he gave to all the times of the sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, the terms of his hearing, he used through all the epistles and all the letters that he written to the church, how I long to see somebody who loves him and loves his people. And that love wakes him up every day. And he falls asleep praying to God every night with his whole spirit. It's everything that he created and desires to have him be. That point is simple. It's also for me in verse 20. I read this verse and I'm like, well, that's the Apostle Paul. Godly men are dead at best. Yes, he was the chosen one of the man. Any power, any gift, anything that he had was given to him by them. Same as each and every one of us. But are we coming to the assembly, to the Lord's Supper, waking up in the morning and doing one of those? Here we go. You just get dressed, I mean, or everybody's, it's time. You want to make it over the day? I hate being late. So this is my personal conviction of not rebuking anybody. I can thank the Lord for helping you. I'll be honest, that's my plan. I'm so convicted. I'm so disgusted with myself. Is that right or wrong? Doesn't make a difference. Is it weird thing? I know that. I wake up early. I'm excited to come. And when I don't come in the morning, it kills me on the inside. Why? Because in my mind, in my spirit, in Paul's spirit, the Lord is waiting for me. In the New Testament, he said, when the hour has come, Jesus said, he was appointed. And so that week, the next period, that's how I feel. I didn't feel that way before. Only after I found Christ in my Savior that I thought that way. And if you love somebody and you're looking forward to meeting them, believe me, you are never before. You'll be the one waiting. That's how we approach. Get Sunday school, sweeping and cleaning, Lord, people, counseling, teaching. It doesn't matter. You're doing it for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, for the Creator of the world. No menial task in Christianity. There's no such thing as a humdrum job in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for the King. If it's throwing a piece of paper in the peace basket for the King, and then I will take you through that game, sir. I serve with my spirit to the gospel of the Sunday without ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Is that helping? I gotta tell you, the more I read, it's almost like the more I flesh, the more I want to read. Because every person I read, like, yes, Lord, I need correction. Like, yep. That's an area of improvement for me, for sure. And at least make mention of you in my prayers. And that's the thing that you have to bring to your weapons for years, or how many weeks around. He prayed. And the rest of the church is unsure. But he prayed. Do you think David, because somebody was praying, fervently praying for the reason that their faith was no longer there? It's a good question to ask yourself. The one thing that happens to verbal Bible chapter, if you purpose in life, every single day, for a moment of time, to pray for the elders, for the brothers and sisters in the assembly, for the community around us, for evangelism, salvation, and all the glory. Making requested by any means valid journey by the will of God to come to you. You ever heard this in the careful what you read? He didn't meet them. Eventually he did. But it wasn't the way he thought it was. He came to them as a person. That would be visited. But the way God would have it, if you look at all the events that he came and he had his own place, and then people came and visited him. It's like, you know, like a resort instead of a prison. You know, he had a wounded guard there, but he was going to work. God opened up a lot of opportunity because of the things that he had to do to save his kids from a lot of rich guard a little before this. And they hoped, so to speak. They gave him. They gave him favor from the government. But the holy place that he stayed, he was there. All along. He came as a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God did eventually give him a prosperous journey. Well, look at what happens. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. This is what he said. Now, I will ignorant brethren that I purpose to come to you, but I'm hindered, so that I can ask for among you even in the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul prayed, looking for an opportunity, and he was hindered. He would go a lot earlier than he could. But he was hindered. Hindered by what? We don't know. Could be finances. Wasn't cheap. He didn't have subway. Took the most expensive cents you can get from inside of New York City. It was books and here are all the travel forms that cost money and time and all the things. Could have been enemies. Hindering Paul, constantly running to not be stoned all over again. You just don't know. Who would come? You know, Paul, remember those, he was busy serving God's people all the time. There was always somebody who needed to hear something. Eventually, there were portions of the book of Acts. He said, look, they're going to go this place, they're going to go that place. And it could have been time. Could have been the Holy Spirit. We see that the Holy Spirit has done that once before too. Where he hindered, the Holy Spirit hindered certain places for reasons of his own. Could have been thinking. Could have been even stopping him from going out into the world to preach the gospel and people getting saved. It could have been thinking. We don't know. What we do know is that Paul got there just on time. There's a lesson there for each and every one of us. Sometimes we pray. And we pray for something godly. A godly life. A godly life. Change in an assembly that we can take place. Salvation of souls in our community. Sometimes we pray for godly things. And it seems like there's always something that stops us from doing that. It seems like there's something that's hindering us from the way that we should grow in the chapel, the community of leaders, our conference, we're trying to break more, and it doesn't seem to have the camp that we're praying for. It keeps getting faster and faster, and things are canceled. Personally, your family, you've been praying for decades, and it seems like they're friendly and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The answer is, I wish I could explain it. I wish I could give you a reason, Mr. But I must believe that God knows. Don't be discouraged. Eventually you will know, whether this time or the other time, eventually you will know. You just can't care. It might come. Like, oh, finally got to go to heaven. We didn't know the way he possibly planned it was going to happen. But he got to heaven, and he finally got to meet the room. He finally got to be a part of that world. Why did he want to go there so much? It wasn't so he could make a name for himself. It wasn't so the apostle Paul could be preached out to the whole world. It wasn't so he could get some kind of Roman degree or any kind of anything like that. Look at what he said. He says, "For I long to see you, I long to see you make acquaintance. I'm here to be with you if you're born in London. I want to be with you. Why? That I may impart church. Many people come to church, and this is how you do it, with an empty shopping cart, seeking to see how it will be filled with the things that the church has to offer. And it could be daycare, it could be good music, it could be also lying in little worship needs, it could be your little TV system, you know, very preacher. We should really be comfortable. Instead of me, we church with a heart that is absolutely full. So that we can go in there for one purpose and one purpose only. To give ourselves to the Lord and to His will. What can I offer? Please. I love giving. What if, actually, I can't even speak here. But what is true? You can go before. So I can give. That's love. Love, if love is a two-way street, the worldly wisdom of love is a one-way street, it just gives. If I'm busy giving to you, living for you, sacrificing myself for you, expending myself for you, then it's good. We were just talking on the road. During the breakdown, this brother came to faith, and he just really started praying to the Lord, did certain things because he wanted to please the Lord or whatever it was, and he apologized to a brother that was discipling him and all the rest of it, and it was just so nice to hear, because this brother is prepared to give himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the other group is constantly witnessing to him, didn't even. That's something that's great. He's so amazed at the fact that this brother's name. He's so encouraged that this brother's growing. You can see it in his face that he's on cloud nine, just watching what the Lord is doing to this man. Doesn't come in the most sustainable. We're praying, we're preaching, we're teaching, we're evangelizing. We're doing the work, and the fruit that this brother saw in this young man was really is up. And in his mutual department, he said, "To the end of the week that you may get back, Paul is going there to begin speaking and teaching his believers. He goes in there, he's imparting his gift so that he can see them grow. So they can be established in the faith, they can be strong in the gospel. So all these little missing theological pieces can be filled. We You just got paid, so they gave you a fine. Then you expect you to go and get it. And you know. But then somebody starts teaching you, and then you start teaching you the word God, you begin to win. And then your faith is established. You start developing conviction. What the gospel really is. Who Jesus Christ really is. Why did Jesus Christ really come? What did we expect of our leader? Then begin to solidify in your faith. And it's no longer just having any faith, not faith. When you first get saved, nothing can fall you. Maybe it's only full of joy. You got joy to oozing out of the ears, and now some of that is being turned in for some discernment. You get the physical understanding so that you can go and be able to sleep. And that's a poem. And look what he said. That is, that I may be together with you by mutual faith between you and me. There it is. When we fellowship with one another, and we extend our gifts to the chapel, you give what you get. There is this fulfillment that money just can't replace. The trophies, as nice as they are, just can't really just give you that feeling of accomplishment, knowing that you did what God told you to do. Again, whatever that is. Painting, imagery, cleaning, preaching, it doesn't matter. You did it for God. And you're blessing others. And you know what? While you're doing that, somebody's doing this, somebody's doing this, and then you're growing together in the faith, you're becoming closely knit together, you're becoming one family, marching for the same cause, the cause for Jesus Christ. Bringing you all together, not only a family, bigger than life. When that's not there, you need to check yourself before you leave. When that's not there, there's something missing. Maybe you're not kidding me. Paul is the apostle Paul, God used right over the third. In the New Testament, said that I'm going to fellowship with you because I know what I'm doing. I'm going to give it. In giving, I know that I'm going to be encouraged too. This is what fellowship does. So excited. Yeah. I'm excited to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know something in there. I'm afraid of it. Whatever it is, maybe. I know it's going to be the one. How have you not had you with your brethren, verse 15? That hope that I purposed to come to you, glad we see you. We don't know you, but we know he was there just to open you. Verse 15. I'm a debtor. What goes through your mind, Americans? When I'm saying that I'm dead, well, it depends who you are. If you're in debt up to your eyeballs, what do you mean? If you're in a copy, your finances, and some of them, they stay only secure in this. Okay. You're a Bible teacher, but a little bit of of love and Romans 13, 22, but more servant to the number. True. Being in debt is not good. You have to show somebody something. You never know what everything is actually yours. It's yours. So you stop paying. And then it's taken away. You're serving people. So we just won't talk about even the new thing to it. He said to me, read the door of our faith. You know, if you're a Christian, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you, my friend, you, my sister, are in debt. You owe. You call the unbelievable world the greatest news that ever hit the face of this world. This is positive death that you heard me say. Only a verbal language. You all, your neighbor, your family, your friends, you owe them the gospel. You are indebted to the unbelieving world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You owe them the same joy. Somebody gave you. When you pay your debt, then you go to university. When I paid off, there was this thing called Y2K. It was great for me. And then you reset every single clock. It's 3,500 pieces of equipment in the computer system. It was working for a year, like 18, 19, or 18. I was in debt to my eyeballs, so I came to school, and you know, before I was saved, I did things I was supposed to do, and that, debt, fixed up in credit cards, maxed out, I mean, it was just hard. And I got together with this brother whose only ministry was getting people in the church that were in debt, and he was talking to all kinds of agencies, including yourself. And he met with me, and this and that. And he said, okay, no time. And then the brother was with me, he said, don't worry about the debt. I would get it. And I said, come on. That has to be me. Then what happens? That has to be me. I wanted my work was to pay off that debt. For sure. And I think I paid my money. But I didn't want to be a taker of money again. So we did. And all of a sudden, the one to pay again came out. And I was making tens of dollars. I think we paid off the entire debt in 1 year. Years and years and years of debt. When I tell you that there's no feeling like a debt-free feeling, it is true. The barn is servants of the debt. It is so true. I felt like the shackles were turned because I didn't know. It's not in you. You preach the gospel, but you gotta preach more. You wanna reach people, you wanna reach the lost, and when you lead one to salvation, you know you could have done two at least, three, four, and on and on it goes. I never ever want that feeling to leave me. Paul said, I was a debtor or I am a debtor. He says, I'm a debtor. I want to be a debtor. You should want to be a debtor. Be a debtor to the Lord. And preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in 15 he says, for as much as of me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Reading comfort commentaries. Most people believe this is talking about the unbelieving world. Because you don't preach the gospel to believers. You preach the gospel to unbelievers so they can get saved. I'm going to tell you that I disagree with every single person. Let me tell you something. I believe the gospel needs to be preached in a church. There should be at least one testimony night every month for somebody just to say that testimony. Love hearing testimonies. It's encouraging to the saints. Well, why should we preach the gospel? We know the gospel. You do? I've got to tell you that out of six evangelists, they'll come up with 20 ways to preach the gospel. To me, it's very encouraging. I find new ways to communicate the truth to a lost and dying world. And people that are given in evangelism start teaching that type of stuff and start giving you the gospel in a way that you never heard of it before. And so preaching the gospel is very encouraging. You Is the very town you drove, you couldn't drive. The Catholic Church. Millions of people indoctrinated to believe that you can earn your salvation. Indoctrinated to believe in transubstantiation, that Jesus Christ is re-crucified every week. I'm not here to judge any particular religion. What I'm telling you is that if I give you my phone number, pictures, exactly what they say, you can deliver me a phone number in this world. But you're going to get some pictures. You're going to get me. Unless you know what you're doing, the exact way you're giving to me, you can get me. The gospel is the third order. You come to Jesus for me. You ask me for the forgiveness of your sins, that you believe I can forgive your sins and your sins on the third day. And you should be saved. And that means that you start doing work that he has created for you to do. But if you try to work your way into heaven, you're not only removing the different words. There's a judgment. You're not going to be able to reach. The order is very important. And I believe that you must preach the gospel to believers. By raising hands, I'm here to acknowledge you in the room. Who do you want to get the gospel? It's the good news if you're saying, and that's what I'm saying, and that's what I'm telling, and preach the gospel. Actually, I'm this one, this body. Fantastic! The gospel has one good news. God is wonderful Savior. And the greatest part of the gospel is when you get saved, you can get forgiveness. You never won. He gave it to me. He made himself. And you embrace it. The gospel is as eternal as the one who believes. And he's made. Let's be mindful that the gospel needs to be preached to churches. If not, what kind of your role? In case I'm afraid, would they stop preaching the gospel? Could have been one or the other, could have been both. It's not the results. That makes me perfect. Ashamed of the gospel, verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we need to keep preaching the gospel. After a while, it's just a human. It's just a human. It becomes a humdrum message and important to you. We got it. We got to keep understanding that the gospel is just as powerful today as the day we got saved, whether it was a week ago or 50 years ago. It's the same gospel that's changing the trajectory of lives every single day. And the gospel changed it, and sure it was. That's why he mentioned it. All the intellect, philosophers, all the roaring, roaring people, all the good and seek to dispel rather than every other one. All of those people. You really want to put the message like that, maybe intellectualism, all the ethics. You think there's nothing to do with this. This. It's the only one of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ashamed of it. Get one flies in your stomach, actually. Even the gospel for a decade. Just waiting for all the rebuttals, you know, stuff and all that. And then the good thing about studying the Romans, Paul has been talking about, he's talking about this. And he's going to be every comfortable, skeptical, than you could ever witness. So if you want to continue preaching the gospel, this is the great thing. That's great. Heavenly Father, before you, Jesus, thank you for saving us. What was the date? You were telling me. You heard it. You knew it. You sent the servant to us who gave us the gospel, who relented, and he gave us the gospel. Who lived it, who preached it, who said it. And then we embraced that message for ourselves. And we made you sin. Jesus, if there's somebody here today that does not know the sweetness of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would speak to that person's heart. And that, Lord God, you would breathe life into that heart, Lord God, that they would just ask somebody, anybody, what in the world is Richie talking about? And that we would just give him the simplicity of that beautiful message that will change every inch of us. We love you and we thank you for it. We pray for the book of Romans as we continue on this journey throughout this book, Lord God, that you would bless all the speakers. And we know, as your word says, that you will bless the reading of the book. In Jesus' name, amen.